Go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts. Acts chapter 15. You guys familiar with Acts 15? We're about to see a shift where the Jerusalem Council, this would be the lead apostles of the church, are going to make a solid decision about the direction of the Lord concerning the Gentile church, concerning the Gentiles coming in. And they agonize over this. If you've read the book of Acts, there's, should they be circumcised? Should they be made to keep the whole law? How does this all work, right? And they come together and they write this letter to all the churches so that everybody's on the same page. And they say this interesting verse, and this is something that's just been something that's really been highlighted to our leadership team for a while now. I'd say a year or two. Look at verse 28 of chapter 15. Now they're writing this letter with the instructions to all the churches of what, how the Gentile church walks out their faith. Verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. This is an interesting phrase, and this has actually been a phrase that we've talked about as a leadership team. What does it look like to be in a season where you're about to do something? And think about Jewish history here. Any Gentiles that would come and join themselves to Israel prior to this date would have to get circumcised, would have to keep the whole law, and then they could be part of Israel. And so this has never happened. This is an unprecedented moment, and they're about to do something, commit to something that is countercultural. It's, how is this going to work? I don't even know how to function over here. And they say, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit to do this. Well, with that verse in mind, I want to talk this morning. We've kind of planned a special day here to talk about what we feel like the Lord is doing in Pagosa Springs, specifically with Restoration Fellowship and Grace in Pagosa, these two church families. Now, there's bigger parts to this picture, but I want to tell a couple of stories, and then we're going to have our elder team come up and share a little bit. The Grace elder team is here. They're going to come up and share a little bit. We're going to do some Q&A, and I hope we land on it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit of where the Lord is leading us. And so 2020, spring of 2020, I have been friends with a couple of leaders at Grace for years and years. And I have been kind of part of friendship conversations about Grace's struggle, isn't the right word, Grace's desire to have a permanent facility home. And they're at the community center, and they're talking about, should we build, should we buy, what should we do? And I'm friends with Jason Rose, and I'm friends with Pastor Joey, and it's like, here's where we're at, we're just doing this. Right up till 2020, they had a kind of, felt like maybe they had some direction they were supposed to build a building. And then COVID hits. COVID changed everything for a lot of us, right? We got this kind of steam built up and poof, COVID happens. The dynamics of everything change. And we come into, can't remember when it was exactly, May-ish of 2020. The federal mandates or the state mandate said, hey, you can gather up to 50. You guys remember that? I remember this specifically. We did three services. I gave the same message three times. It was so many times I couldn't remember if I had already said it. Like, I feel like I've already said this. Did I actually say this in this service or next? It was challenging. Then it was 100, and I reached out at this point in time. I'm still friends. We're friends with Grace family people, and I was just like, I reached out to Pastor Joey, and I said, you guys are at the community center. Have you been able to gather? No, we haven't been able to gather yet. And I said, well, man, we love Grace. We love you guys. And I'm friends with a lot of them. I said, we want to see you guys be able to gather. We would love to open up however we can our facility to you so that you guys can gather. And they began to gather, I believe it was on a Thursday night for a while, and then they went to Saturday nights, and then they were over here on a Sunday morning in the building next door, and they got enough of their church family back together, and we moved into this space. We bumped our services a half an hour so they could be here. And I get a little bit fuzzy of the timeline, but here's the story I want to tell you. We had Jeremiah Johnson here in July-ish of 2020. We had just started gathering. I remember we were rushing around trying to get people all spaced out for Jeremiah Johnson. We had all these people. You guys remember? I mean, I felt it. And we had him here. Now, Jeremiah does ministry here with us. Specifically, I would say his gift, prophetic gift. We've all kind of felt and received of that. But he also serves on our oversight team. So he serves our elder team in this church, is giving us oversight and counsel, and we meet together with him at least once every couple of years. And he was about to leave, and he said, hey, I had a dream. Now you got a picture, July 2020, COVID. We're gathering maybe 50 people. The dynamics of everything has changed so much. And he says to me, I had a dream last night. He said, I know it's from the Lord, and the Lord has showed me that he's going to do something with you guys. I don't remember exactly how he said it. These are things you should write down, right? He said, Lord showed me he's going to do something with you guys that you won't be able to fit in your facility anymore. And you're going to have to double your facility. And I was just like, prophetic people miss it sometimes, right? Even Jeremiah Johnson can have a dream that maybe pizza instead of the Lord. And I said, okay, like I'll pray about that. Do you realize we can't gather more than about 50 people right now? And we're COVID, like this is, and he goes, no, he says, when I get impressions, sometimes he misses it. He goes, my dreams, when I have a dream that's from the Lord, a lot of times it's pretty accurate. He says, I would encourage you to pray into this. And I'm going, what would happen that we would need to double our facility? And about 2 weeks later, I say nothing to anybody. It's just one of those conversations that you have, pray about it. I might have mentioned it to our leadership team. I can't remember. And I get an email a couple weeks later from somebody from our church family. Says, hey, I was driving by the church, and I had this bizarre vision where the Lord showed me that he was going to double the facility. Because of what he was going to do, you'd need more space. And I'm going, okay, all right, maybe it wasn't pizza. But how would this work? And I began to kind of think about this. This is July, August. In October, Pastor Joey called me and he said, hey, can we have a coffee? I said, sure. We met down at the Root House, and I'm figuring we're going to talk about facility and how this is all working, where their plans are as far as their building and what they're going to buy and do and kind of how it's going to work. And I sit down, and you guys have heard me in my messages say, you know, have a coffee with the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice to sit down and have a coffee with God? Well, we had a coffee with the Lord. It was a powerful time, and I remember we're just sitting there, and you could feel the presence of God between Joey and I having this coffee. And he says, I want to run an idea by you. He says, just you know, let me kind of dream for a second. He goes, how would this hit you if I told you that I felt like we weren't supposed to look for a building anymore, that we were where we're supposed to be? He goes, I'm not talking about a merger. I'm not talking about, you know, he goes, but what if we were supposed to share facility strength? Like if we took our resources, you know, we're thinking about buying or building, if we took our resources and sowed into your facility, and we just began to do a long-term, call it cohabitation, we didn't know there's a word for it, but long-term facility sharing. Cohabitation is probably not wrong word to use in church. And so, but I remember the immediate response of my heart was yes. Of course, yes. And then I'm driving away going, wait a minute. How would that even work? And the potential for offense, and when does this person get to use this part of the building, and when, whose chairs do they actually belong to, and who's going to say the color we're going to paint? And I'm just going, this could be real bad. And I have this meeting in October on a Thursday with Pastor Joey. That Sunday, you guys know how we do our prophetic kind of encouragement time, and we, hey, if anybody's got anything from the Lord, we encourage you to share. Up comes three, they weren't strangers, but they weren't restoration folks. I knew a couple of them. One guy was a full-on, never seen him before. And I'm going, oh, okay. Three people that, you know, I kind of need to police this a little bit. So I'm, okay, what did the Lord give you? And they want to share. And two of them get up and share about how the Lord's going to do something that was going to help bring us into our destiny as far as what he's called us to be in this region, in this city, and that sort of thing. It had to do with standing with Israel and our prayer, community prayer and worship, some of these things that he's brought up. And then this guy gets up, and I remember this so clearly. He came up and he goes, I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you guys to go after physical healing again. We've always loved physical healing and prayed for it, but like with an intentionality. And he goes, yeah, I want to just talk, you know, all the people I prayed for get healed and all the stuff. And I was just like, whoa. I said, don't get up there and like tell us how great you are. Just if you feel like we're supposed to, you know, go into healing, just pray that. But don't go into big details about all the times you've healed people, and just give the word. And he's like, okay. And I'm thinking he's not going to do it. He's going to get up and he's going to have the mic for 20 minutes. He was just one of these, you know, personalities. And he gets up and he starts to he does share one. And I'm like, oh, he's already going there. He's sharing stories about how he prayed for someone that got healed. And he stops mid-deal about talking about this, and he looks at me. You guys might have remembered this. He looks at me, he goes, the Lord says, what do you need? And I was just like, I was so caught off guard, because I was on mostly like, don't talk anymore, you know, just give the word. And he looked at me, he says, the Lord says, what do you need? And I remember so awkwardly going, and I felt like he meant money or something. And I remember distinctly going, we could use some new carpet. You guys remember this? How many of you were here? Yeah, it was so awkward. I'm thinking, we could use more carpet? Come on. And he says, he's got the mic and he says, you're not thinking big enough. He says, the Lord wants to double your facility. And he didn't, I don't even know if he gave the healing exhortation. We just kind of moved on. But I remember telling you guys, I said, pay attention, the Lord is speaking. Now I want you to remember this moment. I remember saying that. Then we had a gal come up, and she had her journal that she'd been journaling in during worship. And she had written in her journal that the Lord was going to open a that the Lord was going to do something that was going to bring us into a greater measure of our destiny, you know, as a church family, as a community, as Pagosa Springs and the calling of the Lord upon this city. And in her journal, she says, she had it written down, I feel like the Lord opened this door just a couple days ago. And I immediately thought of that coffee that I had just a couple of days ago that I didn't tell anybody about. I didn't tell our leadership team. At this point, because we meet on Tuesdays, I had the coffee on Thursday, figured I'd fill them in. And she had in her journal, just a couple of days ago, the Lord opened this door that this guy is talking about. And I'm going, that's three. That's three clear witnesses of the same thing. And you wait for other confirmations. And I can say that as we've gone through this journey with Grace Leadership, we've sat down together, our leadership, our elder team, their elder team, and there has been such a presence of the Lord in those meetings. Such an open-handed, whatever you want to do, God. But we really are just becoming just kindred spirits in the Lord, just brothers, even though, and again, we're not talking about a merger. We're talking about doing something, long-term facility sharing. And I'm looking for a model for this. Is there a model out there? Like, where does this happen? Like, I see mergers happening. There's models for that. Where's the model for two different church families with different identities, with different values, I mean, to a degree. The various core values are a little bit different and things like that. And how does that work? Where's the, who gets the, who's in charge of that? Like, what does that look like? And we sought counsel from our oversight team. I remember Jim Stern helping us tremendously, giving us a lot of time talking about this. We talked specifically to a guy who only deals in church mergers, even though we weren't talking about mergers, just help us with some of these dynamics. How would this even work? And we've had this conversation rolling around, call it behind the scenes, and a lot of you guys are going to say, what's going on with Grace? What is happening? What are we doing? And we're just today kind of able to, at both churches, so this happened at Grace towards the end of the service. Pastor Joey got up and talked about kind of what the Lord's been doing, and we got to share a little bit. And we're doing the same thing here in our service, letting you guys know that we are ready to talk about this and to move forward in some sort of permanent facility sharing with Grace. Now, I would like to invite our leadership team to come on up, our elder team. And I would like to just, whoever wants to share first, or if you want to share, no, and I kind of gave him a heads up, said, you know, if you want to say something, great. If you don't, great. But then we're going to invite the Grace leadership team, let them share a little bit, and then we want to do Q&A with you guys. So who wants to go first? You want to say something? Yeah.
You guys are all standing. I think we ought to sit because we're going to be up here a minute, but it's up to you. Y'all are so formal. And then if you can't see us, you guys stand. No, I don't know. I guess if a person's talking, they should stand. So the thing I guess I was really encouraged about, our oversight team, Bill Eddy, Jim Stern, and Jeremiah Johnson, they all three, you know, resonated with this idea as we talked to them. And it was very cool. Jim said something like, here's what people need to know is this is the best use of kingdom dollars. So we give money, we give our tithes and our offerings, and we're going to stretch the power of what comes into the building because we're sharing the same facility. And we have another, I don't even know if anybody knows, because they just kind of come and sort of like pay rent, I guess, or Sunday night. There's another fellowship that meets here on Sunday nights, The Gathering, not to mention a couple different schools. And I think, man, this is just such an efficient use of the money that God's giving us. And it, just by itself, that's really powerful. But the other thing for me, and there's been a few experiences, and this is going to be weird, one of them, but I'll just tell you. Halloween. Handing out candy for Marlene Taylor up on Mesa Heights. And I, you know, for good or bad, she just wants help, and we go up and we help her. And, you know, it's just a cool experience to help our 80-year-old friend who used to be in this family years ago. And I was just thinking that feeling of community, it was so strong. Like, as all these families came up, I thought, we're not just us. Right, we are really part of this community. Like, this is our family, this is our home, And I just have this feeling, let's just be bigger in how we view this world of ours here in Archuleta County. Like, it's not just us. It's us, right? And then this other experience, I led a service, a funeral service, maybe a month ago. And it was this other whole circle of friends, like old, I call it old Pagosa. And this building was filled. And it was probably two-thirds of them attend the Catholic Church and a few other places. And I walked up front and I look around. Of course, I've been the school counselor here for a long, long time. So I've seen all these families that I knew, and I just felt this connection. And I just thought, this is our community, right? Like this is our where we live. This is our home. These are our people. And the best way we can experience that on Sunday mornings is this kind of open-handedness to another different family. I don't even call them churches because I don't think that's quite biblical. Like different fellowships, and we're all part of the church, right? We're all part of the body of Christ. And so I just have this big stirring in my personal deal in the last few months about really seeing the community and saying, what can we do to help them? And we talk about strengths adding to strength. And I'll tell you about grace. Those guys have evangelism in their heart, and we need that strength. And so that's just one example of how we can, you know, encourage one another, stir each other up. So I'm a little bit rambling, but the main thing I wanted to say is we're part of this community, and this is just a neat expression of that. And the other thing is Jim Stern said, man, that's just the coolest deal of how you're really being, like, responsible with the kingdom dollars. Like, how great is that, that those dollars you give are serving so much farther? And anyway, that was what I had.
Through our discussions about when we met with Grace, the phrase was coined. We've all listened to the mega churches and have multiple campuses, and we're doing the opposite. We have multiple churches in this campus, and it's a coming together. It's sharing the Christ. I went with Mark down in Mexico, and we had three churches represented from the state. We had two other churches from other cities in Mexico. We had the church that we were in. I think there were a couple other pastors from that little town or that little community. And we're all shoveling dirt, laying block, gathering rocks. And there was never a mention of denomination that I can remember. And it's just like they have community, a lot of out of necessity. And we need to step into that to where we see the necessity to where we help our brothers and sisters and stand in unity. Working it out has been challenging. I'm kind of anxious. You know, I get anxious to get things done. That might be my shortcoming, but it also might be my strength at the same time. But I see every time I pass in grace and whatever, I hear thank yous from the beginning all the way to here. And there has been no conflict, no issues, no anything. We need to take some steps to walk forward in this, and keep us in prayer on this, because we are breaking new ground in the States here. I truly believe we are breaking new ground, and that it is so exciting to be on the leading edge of this and to stand in boldness before the Lord and say, hey, I got to be here when it happened.
You may have questions. We had questions. For months we've had questions. We've talked. We've prayed. We've wondered. But we're told the world will know us by our love for each other. We all worship the same God. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus. And as we begin to embrace this idea of sharing a facility, it touched our hearts. It touched how we felt about what are we doing here in Pagosa Springs. It was almost like the efforts of different pastors, of different people, over a long period of time, over years, of trying to build some sort of cohesiveness, some sort of shared vision of worship and service and care, was suddenly coming to fruition. It was so amazingly gratifying to think, thank you, God, that you've opened doors that can bring us together where fellowships, individual fellowships, can serve you together. Our weakness can be filled by your strength. Our strength can help fill your weaknesses. That just like Scripture talks about, the hand doesn't say, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to participate. The foot doesn't say, I'm going to walk somewhere else. You guys go ahead. This is a chance for us to share in something that I think the Father has wanted from eternity. I really believe in my heart of hearts that he looks down and says, well done. We don't have all the details. We don't have all the... You know, it's real easy for the enemy to put fear in us and for us to get confused about our purpose here. But the Spirit dwells within us, and it is stronger than he who dwells in this world. Amen? So as we move forward with this, I'm going to declare the victory of your prayers. I'm going to declare the clarity of our purpose through your concentrated effort to seek the Holy Spirit and ask for guidance as we move through this, because the enemy will attack. I guarantee you. Heck, he attacks me at home when I hit my finger. What do you think he's going to do here when the bodies of Christ begin to come together to serve him? Pray for us. Pray for his will to be done, just as Jesus told us to pray. Your will be done here, today, just like it is in heaven.
Well, I think for me, what I'm seeing is today is the start of something. We may have been talking about this for months, even a year or so, behind the scenes. But I really feel like today we can be open and we can be honest with one another. It's like, and I think, you know, I remember saying to myself, if we can't be open about this, if we can't talk to everyone about this, then I don't want to be a part of it. But if we can be open and honest with one another, with both fellowships, then I'm all in. And that's just kind of, you know, the Lord showed me something, I don't know, it's probably been over a year ago, about doing something with grace. And I, you know, I've not really shared it with too many people, and I'm not really going to share it today. But it's like, I really do believe God's hand is in this. But if we can't be open, if we can't be honest with one another, both congregations, and open about what we're feeling. It's like, oh, are we giving things away? Or are we, you know, if we can't be open with one another and we start to hide things or do things in secret, then I don't want to be any part of it. But I don't think that's what God wants. I think God wants us to be together. So that's just my... 2 cents, I guess.
Could I remember that? It was before we asked Jerry to come on the leadership team. He invited me over for lunch, and had to have been over a year ago. And I sit down, he goes, so what's happening with grace? And I'm like, man, these prophetic guys. How do you know? I'd like to invite Joey, Pastor Joey, and the Grace elders to come on up. I want to run through four established bullet points that we talked about as a team. I'd love to hear from these guys. So the four things that we wanted to do today is, one, to share the history of the Lord's leadership. And I just shared a little picture of that. Those are the big things that give us confidence in saying, we believe the Lord is doing this. The Lord talked about this before it was even on our radar. And there's been many other confirmations like it. Number two, we want to make it clear we are not attempting to merge churches. Okay, this is a clear point we want to make. We believe we are supposed to uphold our distinct church families, our distinct identities, our distinct core values as church families. Okay? And number three, we're going to talk about how the room sharing stuff's going to work, but we got to understand we're going to move into a world where it's not restoration giving grace permission to do stuff. We are not, it's not the landlord-renter relationship. This is a family. And so we're going to talk about how that happens. What if grace folks want to have a wedding and restoration folks have a wedding on the same day? Who gets to win? Well, pray about it. I don't know. But that's what we're talking about. We are going to have a person, we've already talked about this, we're both going to spend part of our budget on a shared staff member who will help with facility management, who gets what room when, running that calendar. That's going to be a big job when you've got this much activity in a church facility. And so we're going to have an email for that person. Let's say you want to have a wedding. How do you reach out and how do you reserve a room? We're going to have that available to both church families. And then we are going to, again, all the details are coming into view. We're coming into a new financial year, but we're going to have a shared expression of sharing facility expenses between our church families. So we just wanted you guys to know that as well. I would love to give a hand to this leadership team. Can you imagine being in the shoes of a church leadership team that's making this kind of call on the other end? You know, this has been a big discussion for us, but can you imagine the discussion of somebody saying, guys, we actually don't believe we're supposed to build a building, we're supposed to believe we're supposed to be here, to their church family. This struggle of 12 years has it been? You guys have been looking for a facility at least? I want to give these guys a hand, and I want to hear from them a little bit.
Hi, I'm Todd. A lot of you know me either from the rec center or from here at church. One of my weaknesses is getting up in front of people, so God's strength needs to come through here. But I'm going to paint a picture, and hopefully I'll do it clearly. My wife and I moved here back in 94, and this is where we went. And my wife was the children's ministry. I was on the elder board eventually in there too. What a blessed time. And even when we're sitting in here, at first when we came in here in the morning, my wife, Luann, and I would talk and say, gosh, do you remember this? Do you remember that? It's so neat. So one thing I wanted to say is thank you guys so much for how you've received our body. It's been a true blessing. I can remember, especially Luann, when she was over in the small building over there with our sons, and Kurt Wiggers was there, and Pastor Al, and my son would be on the toilet and saying, Mom, you need to come wipe my butt. And I'm going, those were just one of the few things I remember. But we remember, I remember being on the board with Jim and Mark and Kurt. But it was a blessed time and a body, and we grew with it. We were teaching children at the time, and some of the beliefs, convictions were changing, and I was on the board, and I've seen that, and it got to a point where there were some differences. I prayed about what I'd share here, and it's all, it was that word differences, and it got to a point where Luann and I met with Pastor Al right out there in the lawn, and he knew it was coming. It was like we felt uncomfortable sharing what we had, whether it be about healing or this or that, and we just said, yeah, you can. We felt like we had to go, and he understood it. We loved him. He loved us, and we kept the relationships. And that was the important thing. So there'll be those issues. I mean, we can, over the past couple of years, we've had differences, whether it be political stuff, Black Lives Matter, you know, the whole COVID vaccine mandates, we've got it there. We have it in our small groups. I mean, this the word is sort of getting out, and in our small group, first question, somebody said, what are we going to do if this happens? I said, wow. and I think of it, I mean, we have it in our marriages. We have differences in our marriages, too. And we've got to deal with those. So I believe God can handle it. One thing I do know is that we need Jesus. And the world needs Jesus, and we need to find better ways to know how to do that. And I think God is working that out. God is starting to work that out. So anyway, thanks.
Hi, my name's Brad, and thank you guys for giving us Todd and Luann. And I see that we've got some of our members joining you and vice versa. One thing that my wife and I came here in 08, and in the business that we're in, we're in front of a lot of people. We get to meet a lot of people, and we love people. And we took a year off because I was involved in leadership back in Phoenix. Went to all the churches and was like, man, could we just do one? Pagosa is such an awesome community, and we ended up getting involved in Grace, and through the course of our time in Grace, we've had Joey, and we had another pastor, and then we were without a pastor for a couple of years. There's been a lot going on within the body of Grace, and one thing that we've never done was we were never attached to a facility. We almost wore that as a banner of pride, and anyway, over time, there was always kind of this undercurrent of a facility. That's just kind of what churches do, right? But we didn't, and we chose not to. And finally, it came, and like Pastor Justin said, we went through that struggle. COVID hit. No facility. We took a hit. We were split up. It was hard. And so you guys came to us with open arms. And here's this relationship that I think we as a leadership team have seen for years. We've talked over years with other churches about doing exactly what we're doing now. And it never came to be. Never came to pass. What's the blessing in COVID, right? What can God do with COVID? Here we are. And so it's just been remarkable to me to see the open hand of your leadership team the relationships, to walk outside here after service, see your smiling faces, your open arms, your hugs, family. It's just awesome. So I can't say thank you enough for who you are, who we are, who Christ is through all of us. And the details, I trust, will take care of themselves. I'm excited about our future. We have another announcement coming that will blow your minds, I think. But thank you for your prayers, for your support, for your unity, for your acceptance, and for your love for Grace. Thank you.
Oh, good morning, or afternoon now. Yeah, everybody look at their watch right there. My name's Joey. I'm one of the pastors at Grace, and Justin asked me to share a little bit of my heart this morning and my journey. I want to piggyback off of what Brad and Todd said and just affirm you guys. You have heard, thank you, but I want to affirm you in the elders that you have sitting up here. You guys operate similar to us, that your elders are elected by your church body, appointed by your church body, whatever language you might use. You guys have done well in appointing these men. These are men who pray. These are men who listen and follow God hard. Even when maybe following doesn't make perfect sense, I have very rarely seen a group of people as open-handed and as humble as these men. The humility that they have, we have seen in every single one of you as we have come. You always know if you go visit, we just had the holidays, right? And some of you traveled and stayed in somebody else's house and you're like, oh, I don't want to leave the toilet seat up or I don't want to do anything wrong. Like, you know, honestly, as we kind of started meeting here, there was a little bit of that from us. Like, we don't want to wear out our welcome. We don't want to. And every single Sunday, as we're leaving worship service and you guys are coming in, we receive nothing but affirmation from you guys. Over and over, I've heard Grace members say they really are glad that we're here. Like, we're not an imposition, we don't think. And so I want to affirm you guys for your sensitivity to the Spirit. I want to affirm you guys for your humility. God has been using that to bless more than just you in this community. Our church, our leadership has been blessed immensely because of that. In our journey, as they shared a little bit, it was uniquely difficult, COVID was, for our church, because I like to say most other churches, when they were able to gather together, you know, we pivoted just like a lot of other people and tried to be online and those sorts of things and provide lots of options to serve people however we could. But then as doors opened back up, almost every other church had something that was familiar. They had a building, they had a meeting time, they had a meeting place, they had a structure, they had something was familiar. And I always tell people, it's like your mother's cooking when you're sick. It's comforting, it's familiar. And Grace didn't have that. We didn't have the familiar place, we didn't have the familiar time, we didn't have the familiar structure, the familiar worship. Everything was different, and that was uniquely hard. And your humility allowed us to get our feet back under us and beginning to establish a familiarity, begin to establish a normalcy. And as the opportunity to meet here really came to fruition, and we started on Thursday nights and then Sunday nights and then Sunday mornings, I remember praying through that and praying, thank you, Lord, for giving this to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving this to us. But always kind of had that same old mentality of like, okay, when are we going to get back to what we had, or when are we going to get back to finding a building, just the traditional roots. And I was praying through, I was actually preaching through one day, Ephesians 3:20, which says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than anything we can ask or even dream. And I remember wanting to take this blessing that the Lord had given Grace through the humility of your leadership and through the humility of this body and almost sort of push it back across the table at him and say, this is awesome, but can you do more? Right? Like, you're telling me you can do immeasurably more than anything I can ask and anything I can dream. And I know I can see a way for us to be here. I know I can logically work it out, all the details, like I can figure it out, we can overcome it. And it was in that process of talking to Justin where we kind of came up and said, what would it look like really to kind of share this facility? And it started, honestly, as some logistical conversations. And I just kept coming back to Ephesians 3:20. God, you can do more than logistics. You can do more than sharing and having weddings scheduled out and all that. You can do more than that. And God really began to change my vision. He really began to change my impression of what he would do. And I want to take you back in, it was 2018 or 19, I can't remember when it was. I went to Israel. I was really blessed to be able to go there. And I remember standing in Jerusalem outside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. If you've ever been there, you go through and it's beautiful and it's amazing. But every church there is kind of owned by one denomination except for the Church of Holy Sepulchre. And there's at least three denominations that kind of co-own this place. And as you walk through, it's very apparent. Because this room is very different from that room, and there's different rules over here, and you get yelled at by this guy over here for talking, but over here you're supposed to talk. And I was standing in the courtyard with our tour guide waiting for everybody to kind of get through because we couldn't talk in this part. And I looked up at the window, and I said, why is there a ladder leaning against the window up there? And our guide was a Jewish man, and he said, oh, that's the immovable ladder. I was like, what's the matter? You don't have a big enough hammer? Like, you can't break it loose? And he said, no, what happened is, he said, we don't really know who it was or exactly when it was, but at least to the 1850s, but probably all the way back into the 1700s, somebody decided there was a problem with the window. It was broken. So they went one day, and they went inside, and they opened the window, and they came out on the little balcony, and they put the ladder up there, and they were fixing the window, and they didn't quite get done fixing the window. So they left the ladder up there, and we're going to return the next day to finish fixing the window. But the next morning, when one of the leaders from one of the other denominations showed up, he said, hey, who's working on that window? We didn't give you permission to do that. And the other one said, we didn't give permission to do that. And they began fighting about this to where no one was allowed to go back out because nobody could agree on fixing the window, and the ladder is still there to this day. Yeah, and you can Google it. It's called the ladder of status quo, and it's essentially like, don't touch anything, don't mess with anything, or we might make everybody upset. And I didn't grow up in the church, but honestly, that was my perception of Christians growing up. Like, it's just a bunch of people who can't get along, and they divide whenever they find something they can't figure out, and that's just what they are. And that ladder, to me, was a picture of the church. And every cell in my body said, I want to find a different ladder. I want to find a different way. I want to have, it's a public picture of the disunity we portray as Christians when we're supposed to portray the unity of God. We're supposed to be a beautiful picture of the marriage between Christ and his bride. And in John 13, I forget, one of your elders referenced it a little bit ago, said, Jesus commanded, he said, you will be known by how you love one another. That's how the world will know you're my disciples. And I told our church this morning, we often hear that passage and we think, yes, I'm going to love the people in this room. I'm going to love my fellow church family. But what about other church families? What about people who sing differently than you do, or worship differently than you do, or believe differently than you do? Can we be known as Christ's disciples by the way we love them? And what the Lord has really pressed into my heart, and what I'm really excited to share about our families, is I believe what the Lord is doing between our churches and now between other ministries in town is exactly that. He's creating something that is going to be a public display, not of the disunity and the splitting and fracturing history that we honestly have as American Christians, but building together something that is a public display of our unity in Christ. And that means we're going to have to come together in lots of different ways. We're going to have to come together and we're going to have to sacrifice on certain things, and that's exactly something you guys have portrayed in accommodating our church. And something our church has had to do, sacrificing our service structure and times and those things, and for the benefit of one another. It's going to look a lot of different ways. I want to read to you Philippians 2:1-4. This is what I charged our church with this morning. I said, I want you guys to pray through this opportunity because we don't know all the details yet. There's actually some other things coming down the pipeline for our church that are directly affect us that I believe is going to just run parallel with this vision, that is going to just amplify this. When God said, look, here's restoration and grace, and you guys can work beautifully together and go hand in hand in ministry and do some cool things together, and I'm like, Ephesians 3:20, that, God. Can you blow that up and do more? And God's like, okay, here's another group. Okay, awesome. Ephesians 3:20, that too. And like, we're just continuing to say, God, can you do more? Can you do more? Because eventually it's going to get so large, not in size, but in kingdom scope. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get so large that this community, it's not the elders of grace or any of these other bodies. It must be something. These gentlemen, everybody that's involved in this, that's where their heart is. But it all hinges on this. Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Come to me as a pastor with this verse, like, and all they want to see is all the churches together, like, denying their own individualities and just worshiping in, at one place and in one time. And I think that's missing what this verse is saying, because what we're seeing, what we've seen here this morning is two unique church families worshiping in different ways, maintaining their own strengths, their own giftedness, their own identities, but having the same love, united in the same spirit, and declaring publicly, we want to come together for the same purpose with our unique identities, with our unique skills. But verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests. Shame to say that. We work really hard on that, but the Lord has blessed me with the most patient and gracious wife in the world, which is predominantly why it works. But every time I serve him. And as long as the two of us are considering each other's needs as more important than our own needs, guess what? My needs are gifts. I believe that whatever the Lord is doing here, whatever shape it takes, whatever form it takes, yes, there's going to be difficulties. And I know that because God's in it, and so Satan's going to be against it. And so he's going to bring up money. He's going to bring up scheduling. He's going to bring up the color of the carpet. He's going to bring up whatever he can, the traditional tactics to split churches. But if we will say, grace, what is better for restoration? Let's do that. Restoration says, what is better for grace? Let's do that. If we both come together and say, what is better for the community? Let's do that. What is better for the kingdom? Let's do that. If we will do this, I believe wholeheartedly we will wake up and find ourselves in a place that is very unique to this community in a way that they have no choice but to say, the Lord must.
Amen. I'd like for the worship. But as we met as a leadership team, we said, well, the one thing we're not going to compromise on, no matter how this morning goes, is we're going to pray together. On your bulletin, there is an email where it says leadership team, elders@restorationfellowship.net. You have any questions? I love what Jerry says. We want to be able to talk open and honest. You're going, I don't like this at all, and here's why. We want to hear that. We want to talk with you. Like, we definitely, you know, I just want to open that up, and I apologize we're not going to be able to get to that today, but we believe it's more important that we take these last 10 minutes and pray together. I encountered the last probably 3 days a level of discouragement regarding all this that was, I immediately went to like this yucky place in my heart, and team, and we're just like, As weird as it sounds, we were just like, are we even supposed to do this today? And it was just like, we were just going back there and going, we're about to embark on something that is going to be, I believe, I totally agree with Pastor Joey, extremely powerful of bringing glory to Jesus, and we are just surprised by backlash. And we all got up this morning and went, that was spiritual warfare. Yeah, there was some real frustrations out there, but the level that they discouraged us was like, that was just spiritual warfare. And I begin to look at those things as even more confirmation that it's the Lord. You ever sign up for a marriage retreat? 2 days before you're supposed to go, you want to get a divorce? And everything was fine before you... You know what I mean? That's... You're supposed to go to that because the Lord's going to do something. I would like for you guys to stand. And we're just going to spend a few minutes of assuring our hearts. I'm just confident. It seems good to us and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to undeniably, you are leading us in this direction. Lord, I pray for that same confidence to be given to the Grace Church family, to the Restoration Church family. Lord, I pray right now that you would grant us strength, ability, wisdom, compassion, clarity to follow your lead. As you are doing something with the Church of Pagosa that is different, that's new, and we don't quite know how to walk it out, but we see your hand, God. We ask that you would lead us. Lord, we ask that you would keep us from the evil one. Lord, that you would cause us to be aware of spiritual attack, that you would help us to guard our hearts. That you would continue to build unity among us. Continue to show us how to do this. I ask that you would grow our vision. I ask that you would do what Pastor Joey exhorted us, that you would go beyond what we can ask or imagine, that you would give us even greater vision. I just want to go ahead and pass the mic around if anybody wants to pray.
Father, we're just asking you to help us stand, to stand on your truth, on your love, on your willingness to go as far as it takes. We're asking you to open our ears and our eyes to your will, to heed not the enemy's lies, but to focus our hearts and our minds on your desires, that we would follow you, that we would trust in your leadership in our lives, in these bodies represented here, that we would declare and acknowledge that you can make a way, even if it appears to us there is no way. We thank you, Father, and we just glorify you in Jesus' name.
I just want to pray this scripture, Ephesians 3, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you a course, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him. Now to him, church. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church. Amen.
This is our first step forward. It's all been preparation for our first step. that we've started our journey. And I'm not sure exactly where it's going to end, but I know that God is in this. Lord, I just want to thank you for your loving kindness, your grace toward us, God, how you are moving two bodies closer together. Lord, I know that there will be times that there will be maybe disagreements or misunderstandings in any relationship there is, Lord, but we want to look to you. And God, we want to rely on you with confidence that you will guide us, you will give us direction, you will help us make, and we will continue on this journey that we might glorify you, both bodies, that we might glorify you. In Jesus' name.
I just, as I've been thinking, I just felt like the Lord gave me a word about healing. I think back to that prophetic story, that guy that wanted to exhort us to healing, and he gave the word, the Lord's going to double your facility in the midst of it. And I think about Todd's story. I know that there's a history of church splits and church hurts that have come level. I just felt like the Lord said, there's a healing that's starting right now. Healing that's going to happen through this process. Lord, I thank you and I ask you that you would bring healing. Through what you're doing. Lord, we pray that you would keep our eyes focused on your glory, not our own. Lord, that there would be a continual phrase on your lips that this is something that you're doing. That any accolades that come from folks saying, oh, so wonderful what restoration is doing, what grace is doing, we would say, no, this is Jesus. We're actually not that cool. This is him. To him be the glory. And Lord, I ask that you would keep us in this place. That your greatness would be known in Pagosa Springs. That your greatness would be known to in this city. Let it bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Well, let's give the Lord a hand again. Lord, we thank you. We love you, Jesus. We love you guys. We're all available. Questions. Again, we just do want to encourage you to talk about this. Life groups are going to be fun this week. We expect, you know, conversations. We're here to talk openly. We love you guys. We will see you next week.